From WRKF in Baton Rouge and WWNO in New Orleans, you're listening to Louisiana Considered. I'm Karen Henderson. On the show today, we hear about an exhibition that takes you into the lives of female hunters in South Louisiana. But first, ahead of the regular session of the Louisiana Legislature slated to begin on Monday, March 11th, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner Tim Temple has laid out his plans to address an insurance crisis in the state that focuses on addressing what he calls the state's heavy-handed regulations on the industry. Reporter Sam Carlin has covered this story for the Times-Picayune, The Advocate, with a look at Temple's plans and what's in store for the session. He joins us now. Sam, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Karen.
Sam, can you first remind us, what is the insurance crisis?
Yeah, so it might help to just go back to Hurricane Katrina in 2005. After that storm, Louisiana experienced a huge exodus of kind of the big brand name insurance companies in the homeowners market. And as a result, the state kind of embarked on this years-long plan to try to get people off the insurer of last resort, which is Citizens, which charges more to its customers by law. And to do that, they recruited a lot of small, kind of thinly capitalized companies to the market and these companies really focused on storm prone areas where the big insurers weren't writing and they saw a market opportunity. And for years, it kind of worked to bring some affordable coverage to Louisianans. And that's largely because we didn't have a big spate of, devastating hurricanes. That's until 2020 and 2021, when Hurricanes Laura, Delta, Zeta, Ida all happened within a two-year period. And what happened is 12 of those kind of smaller insurers that were brought to the market, most of which after Katrina, they went belly up. And their people who filed claims with them were kind of left in the lurch, forced onto the roles of Citizens to pay more. The reinsurance market, which is really, really important, it offers insurance for insurance companies, really kind of reevaluated Louisiana and the coastal Gulf South and dramatically raised the rates that insurance companies had to pay to kind of backstop themselves from these claims. And what we've seen since is just a dramatic increase in premiums, a dramatic lack of availability. There's not that many insurance companies writing. There's a ton of people who can't find any private insurers to write them homeowners insurance. And so what we've seen is, people are just being forced back onto the roles of Citizens, just like they were after Hurricane Katrina. And the cost of insurance has risen in a way that we really haven't ever seen before. The average policy for Citizens has increased by almost $3,000 since Hurricane Ida. And the number of people on Citizens is up 244%. So it's just a dramatic sort of staggering, almost a death spiral for the insurance market. And so that's kind of what lays the groundwork for where we are today and why leaders are trying to find solutions.
Well, Insurance Commissioner Tim Temple, he's a Republican. He's a former insurance executive, took office in January after running unopposed. He's coming in with ideas. His ideas seem to favor insurance companies. What's his plan?
Yeah, so Temple has laid out a pretty sweeping and ambitious plan. And he's a Republican. He takes over from a Republican, Jim Donilon, who was in office for 18 years. But, while Donilon was a Republican, he also tried to, walk this balancing line of trying to install these certain policies that he saw as consumer protections. One of them is called the three-year rule. And if you're a homeowner in Louisiana and you've been with your insurance companies for 3 years, under Louisiana law, they cannot drop you. And Donilon argues that that's a good way to protect homeowners from being forced onto the roles of Citizens. But Temple and, insurance industry executives and folks aligned with the insurance industry, they see that as a kind of non-competitive part of Louisiana's market. And they say it's too heavy-handed. You shouldn't be telling companies who they have to do business with. So that's one of the key things Temple wants to do away with in the legislative session that starts later this month. But it's not just that. I mean, he's already lifted profit caps. So Donilon had sort of capped the amount of profit an insurance company could make in a given year. Temple wants to do away with that and let them make as much profit as they want. He also wants to allow companies to more easily raise rates on consumers and raise them more frequently, which is a change that already took effect. He wants to allow them to self-report minor violations that he says don't hurt consumers. And he has also brought up the idea of targeting lawsuits, which is always a boogeyman for the insurance industry, that says too many homeowners just are quick to file a lawsuit after a storm.
We're speaking with reporter Sam Carlin. He covers insurance issues for the Times-Picayune, The Advocate. Now, Sam, I know a lot of our listeners right now know too well about the problem of skyrocketing insurance premiums for their home. How does what Temple is planning address that problem?
So Temple believes, and obviously this is a controversial plan, and there will be a lot of debate around it, but Temple's idea here is that if you are friendly enough to insurance companies, you allow them to make profits easier, you allow them to raise rates when they want, drop people when they want, you remove all these regulations, that more insurance companies are going to come to the Louisiana market, and that competition will eventually drive down rates because these companies will be competing with each other for business and will try to undercut their competition. He hopes, you know, we're coming up on a pretty key deadline in the insurance world, which is this summer, June and July 1st, is when a lot of these reinsurers, which I mentioned earlier, offer insurance for these insurance companies. It's a big driver of rates here, especially with these small companies we have. That's when they kind of lock in their rates for the year. And Temple hopes that if he sends a signal to the industry that he's, you know, being friendly to them and that it's a good place to do business, that those rates might come down in the coming year or the following year. Now, I will say none of these policies that I mentioned really address the kind of underlying risk that has been simmering in Louisiana for decades, and really came to the fore in Katrina and then again in Ida. And that's the fact that we have such a heavy concentration of our residents near the coast. And climate change is driving more intense hurricanes. And the, you know, these insurance companies and reinsurance companies are looking at places like coastal Louisiana, coastal Florida, you know, California with the wildfires, all of these things driven by climate change and all these places that are really affected by it. And they're saying, you know, we don't want to write insurance there because that's just too much risk. And there's too much risk that we're going to lose money. So there is one policy idea that Temple has continued, which is this fortified roof program that Donnellan stood up here last year. It basically offers $10,000 to anyone who puts a fortified roof on their home, which is just, you know, they take a series of steps to make the roof stronger. Roofs are typically the number one most expensive insured loss when a hurricane hits. And in exchange, you get an actual discount from an insurance company. So it's a pretty straight line from that program to insurance discounts. So there is that. And I will say there's a lot of consumer advocates and lawyers who don't want to see their ability to sue go away, who are very skeptical that the other aspects of Temple's plan, you know, these pro-industry, pro-insurance company regulations and legal changes are actually going to lower rates.
Well, what do you expect the debate to be like during the regular session as lawmakers take up these insurance proposals? You think it'll be easy ones for Temple with a Republican supermajority, or is there bound to be a lot of fighting?
You know, it remains to be seen. I will say Louisiana insurance is such an interesting topic because if it's any other industry, Louisiana's Republican supermajority is pretty much in lockstep that they do what the industry wants. If it's the petrochemical industry, you know, any other industry, they're pretty in lockstep around reducing regulations, reducing taxes, that sort of thing. Insurance is a little bit different because a lot of these Republicans, especially across the South, Houma, Thibodeau, you know, Calcasieu Parish, and then obviously Jefferson and Orleans, their constituents are really, really upset about the way their insurance companies treated them after the hurricanes Laura and Ida. And also they're upset about the, you know, rates they are paying. And so I think you may see a little bit different tenor from some of these folks when it comes to dramatically making things easier on the life of insurance companies, because I think constituents are just so animated and upset about this. You may see a little bit more of a pro-consumer flavor. Now, whether that's enough to halt or change any of these things remains to be seen. And, obviously Temple's the new insurance commissioner on the block. He'll have to, you know, develop relationships and with lawmakers and try to get new Governor Jeff Landry on board. So we'll see.
Times Picayune, The Advocate reporter Sam Carlin. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
From WRKF in Baton Rouge and WWNO in New Orleans, you're listening to Louisiana Considered. I'm Karen Henderson. French-Algerian photographer and filmmaker Camille Farah-Lenon explores the lives of female hunters in rural France and southern Louisiana through an exhibition that combines stunning photographs and immersive sound pieces. Sisters of the Hunt recently opened at the Nunu Arts and Cultural Collective in Arneville. It also features an original music score from Lafayette musician Tiff Teddy Lamson. Joining us now to tell us more is Camille Farah-Lenon. Camille, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Karen.
Camille, where did you get the idea for this exhibition? And tell us how you came to name it, Sisters of the Hunt.
I have this group of friends in Southwest Louisiana who, you know, some of them live in rural areas, some of them live closer to Lafayette, but a lot of them hunt. And when I found out that one of them was a woman, I guess it really surprised me. And a lot of the ways I approach my work and my project is when something surprises me, I kind of get completely obsessed with it and I question why I have not seen women hunting or why it didn't really exist in my imaginary, you know. So it kind of started with this friend named Lee and who took me hunting for the first time and then just going on a deep research about where does this lack of representation comes, you know, why does hunting, which is not that physically demanding, is only mostly accessible to men.
Now, did you start with this name in mind, Sisters of the Hunt, or when did it come together? This is what this is. And what does it mean, Sisters of the Hunt?
Some of the women I would meet would say, I'm the only woman who hunt that I know. You know, I met Jennifer, who's 17 years old, who was 17 years old at the time, who lived in Bunky, Louisiana, in like just a small little compound on the other side of a bridge, and she didn't know any other woman hunting. Also, Lee, my friend that first introduced me to it, she didn't know many other women hunting, so it was interesting. It was like a really lonely practice, right? And then I got to meet other women who would create sort of clubs that were just open mostly for women or wanting to create a space, a group for women to hunt together. So this is when I started seeing them as a sisterhood. This is when I started imagining them almost like as a pack of animals together because, you know, part of this project is also questioning the places of the place of a woman. It's women who could have been viewed as prey and take their place again as a predator. So I like sort of jumping back and forth between this idea of a woman, or a human, a woman and an animal. And so I sometimes would imagine them as a pack of animal. So, and then going towards this idea of a sisterhood of them together, you know, sort of sizing the rifle and taking over this new world. So Sisters of the Hunt kind of came from that.
At what point, Kemi, did you decide you wanted to include the voices of the subject telling their own stories? Because I know this is not just photographs, but you actually have audio of the women talking about even the history and how they passed down from mother to daughter hunting.
I spend a lot of time talking with people, trying to understand where they come from, where they stand, how they feel. That helps me photograph them. And so really I would just have those really long conversation with the huntresses, with the women, and I didn't have a microphone at first. You know, I'm already there with two cameras. trying to think about the light, trying to think about the frame. And but then there would be like just really beautiful things they were saying. So I started bringing the mic slowly. And then I started collaborating with other friends who are, work in sound as well. But yeah, it really came from just, you know, this feeling of someone who says something and you want to remember it. And I would write about it. I would think about it. I would try to retranslate it in other ways. But then I decided the best way was to include their voice first place.
We're speaking with photographer Camille Ferrand-Lenon about the exhibition Sisters of the Hunt, now open at the Nunu Art Center and Cultural Collective in Arneville. I want to play a quick audio recording of one of the huntresses you feature in your exhibition. Her name is Lee.
I always liked guns. I still have a pistol that I've been shooting since I'm like 9 years old. There's a picture of me and my dad on a picnic table shooting it. I'm gonna load it now. I just like their versatility as a tool. I grew up on a farm, and so for me, guns were just another tool. It was like a screwdriver or a fork. We needed it in the home, and we used it all the time. And when I was a certain age to understand a safety and a trigger, I was shooting them so that I could understand their power.
That was Lee, one of the female hunters featured in Camille Ferrand-Lenon's exhibition. Camille, can you tell us more about her and why you selected her?
With Lee, which was the earliest one I did, so who's, again, Lee is the person who I first encountered as a woman who hunts and the person who sparked this idea of photographing women hunting. And especially at the beginning of the project 5 years ago, I was kind of just obsessed with the relationship to guns. Just why do you have them? Are you afraid of them? You know, why do you love them so much? You know, I had this question about it, and I interviewed Lee around this, and what I really love about it is that she brought in some nuances and some, I guess, experiences and history with shotguns or firearms that I wouldn't have never thought about. She compares guns to a fork because it's a tool that exists in her house, and she also understands that they shouldn't just be put in anyone's hands. So again, that does not make me pro-gun, but with a lot of those projects that I do, I like approaching people who have a different lifestyle than me because it helps me understand how they're seeing the world, and, you know, and we get to have conversation about things we don't agree on, you know, that are not only based into an argument, like a mean argument. It's like, it's being able to really explore our worlds and our point of view together, even though we're different. Lee really describes her relationship to guns from when she was a little girl until she grew up. She also, you know, speaks about how, and that comes back with a lot of the huntresses. Lee speaks about growing up, being a little girl and being able to go hunting with her dad. But as soon as you reach a certain age, and that's usually when you become a teenager, and sort of like, you know, when as a little girl, you maybe this is when you start becoming a woman. I don't know. But that's when you're not being invited to go on hunts anymore. And you can see the boys, the brothers, the other siblings going, but then you're not invited anymore. And so she was able to describe that. And something that comes back in a few of the pieces and three of those interviews actually is the fact that this woman realized that they had a really big call to hunting after they had sort of a life-changing experience in their life. So, for instance, with Lee, she almost died on Mardi Gras Day years ago when she got rolled over by a massive trailer when she was doing Mardi Gras out in West Louisiana, and was in the hospital for weeks. And after she gained back access to her body and to her ability, she had this calling for hunting again. She realized nothing could stop her. And interestingly, in my interviews with those different women that don't know each other, sometimes they live in different countries, there is this relationship to your own power and your own ability, and that they translate to hunting. They're letting themselves access hunting even though they're not accepted in that world, even though it's a male-dominated practice, even though they're told they can't do it, they're told they're not welcome there. And once they realize they can survive something, they just kind of go.
Mm-hmm. Now, Camille, we mentioned we know there are photographs and the interviews, but there's another level to what you've added to the exhibition, the experience, and that is a music score that's been produced by Lafayette musician Teddy Lamson. How did Teddy become a part of this project?
I've known Teddy Lamson. I call her Tiff. Some people call her Teddy. I love that. You know, just from living in New Orleans, having friends in common. We do also share this group of friends that I know that I mentioned in rural Louisiana. And although Tiff is really busy, touring a lot right now, she happened to be free around this time frame where I was hoping to create score for the film. So I reached out to her and she was so excited right away. You know, Tiff is from Lafayette. Tiff's friend that she grew up with hunts. And, you know, even one of the pieces that we did where I did an interview with a 8 and 12-year-old girls that do speak in Louisiana French, those are the daughters of one of the friends she went in high school with, you know, and she didn't realize right away, you know, but so there is that connection that works really well. And Tiff didn't hunt, and although a lot of men in her surrounding have done this, so I think she understands this. She knows what it means to be part of the minority, gender-wise.
What do you want people to come away with after walking through the exhibition?
I'm not trying to push everybody to hunt. I'm not trying to invite anyone to hunt. But I'm also hoping for people who, you know, are so away from this world, this practice, and maybe people who are anti-hunting, to be able to listen to the stories and look at the women in the photograph and be thinking, maybe I can have a conversation with this person, you know. That's something, you know, in generally the political climate we're in, it's really hard to communicate, and that pushes us away from each other instead of trying to understand each other.
So hopefully this exhibition can facilitate conversation, understanding.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I don't say that everybody has to agree on things. I'm just hoping people can have a little bit more empathy and a little bit more openness to understand where someone comes from. Mm. Not accept it necessarily, but just try to open their ears and eyes and try to understand it.
Camille Ferrat-Lenon, her exhibition Sisters of the Hunt is now open at the Nunu Arts and Cultural Collective in Arneville. Camille, thanks for joining us on Louisiana Considered.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen.
From WRKF in Baton Rouge and WWNO in New Orleans, you've been listening to Louisiana Considered. I'm Karen Henderson. Thanks to our guests, Times-Picayune, The Advocate reporter Sam Carlin, and photographer Camille Ferrat-Lenon. Our managing producer is Matt Bloom. Our assistant producer is Aubrey Procell. Our engineer is Garrett Pittman. You can listen to Louisiana Considered Monday through Friday at noon and 7 p.m. It's available on Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Major support for Louisiana Considered provided by Rouse's Markets, a Louisiana shopping experience, with additional support from the Historic New Orleans Collection.